Do you enjoy a psychologically twisted, truly horrifying glimpse into the mind of a sadistic serial killer, but not necessarily one who might be lurking out in your yard, you know, just behind the back door you may or may not have just left unlocked? And wait a minute, has it been an oddly long time since you last heard the dog bark? And are those footsteps in the kitchen, you know, where all the knives are? And you will love ELIT Book Awards Silver Medal Horror winner, John H. Mudgett's horror fiction masterpiece, Crazy Is As Crazy Does, The Life of a Serial Killer. Mudgett draws readers into the mind of serial killer John Goodman as he evolves from a timid and disorganized criminal into a tactful predator, skilled in the art of deception. What makes this character so chilling and compelling is that he is the product of Mudgett's depth of research into the inner workings of notorious serial killers like Ed Kemper, Ted Bundy, Eileen Wuornos, and more. Check out Crazy Is As Crazy Does, The Life of a Serial Killer by award-winning John H. Mudgett, available on Kindle and in paperback.
The Crime Juicy Cocktail Hour. I'm Becca.
I'm Krista.
And I'm Carrie Ann. We're going to be doing our human trafficking episode special. Last
Part
season,
one.
We know that there's males that are attracted to just women. Others that want the special niches that are being created by the internet and the porn industries.
You can make a lot of fucking money providing for those very special niches.
Y'all, these men out here got some mommy issues. Okay, sorry. We went a little off the rails there.
Like, for you to expound on that, Krista, go there and then stop.
I digress.
We laugh because we're going to cry in this episode. We laugh because we're going
to
cry.
If you check out the show notes and on our social media, we've got links to organizations you can support or get resources from to help victims of human trafficking. A big thank you to Swap Behind Bars, the sex worker outreach project behind bars. They do a lot to help victims of human trafficking without criminalizing sex work. We love them. And they have provided us with a whole bunch of resources that we'll be sharing with you in the show notes.
There's a lot to go over. It's an unfortunate truth that needs to be talked about because so many people don't want to talk about it. It is unpleasant.
Yes, I am drinking a beer at noon because it is unpleasant.
It needs to be talked about because it's happening in your children's schools, in your neighborhood, anytime you're on an airplane, any hotel you ever go to, any massive, large event you are going to, government parties.
The cultural world of human trafficking is conspiracy theories colliding with facts.
Pizzagate happened around, you know, we got Jeffrey Epstein, we've got all this shit coming to light. Conspiracies don't just come out of nowhere, whether or not they're true. Conspiracies don't just happen in a vacuum. There's always a cultural context to them. We're going to be speaking specifically about young boys, teens, and young men as victims of sex trafficking, A, because it doesn't get talked about enough, even male sexual assault, and B, it's terrible. Reading accounts where boys and teens and young men are trafficked, it seems like it ends in murder more often than in other situations. Some of the situations we're looking at it like, oh my God, couldn't have you just raped him? Holy shit, this is really awful.
Yeah, they could have just raped him, but then they're still left there with that lifetime of trauma.
Have to torture him to death and force the other.
Well, that's where like the weird snuff films.
Yeah. Happen. It gets real dark real fast when it comes to trafficking of boys. Safe Horizons defines human trafficking as the illegal trade in human beings through recruitment or abduction by means of force, fraud, or coercion for the purposes of forced labor, debt bondage, or sexual exploitation. Traffickers control their victims by withholding identification, work authorization, or travel documents, demanding repayment for real or alleged debts, violence and threats of violence against the victims or their loved ones, constant surveillance of isolation, barring this coaching on how to talk to others, including law enforcement, and forcing economic dependency. As of 2017, 4.8 million people are trafficked for sexual exploitation. The National Human Trafficking Hotline showed a 25% jump in cases of human trafficking from 2017 to 2018. That was back then. It's increased since then. Women and girls account for 71% of all trafficking victims. But what about the boys?
Because boys aren't talked about, this number of exploited boys is much higher.
The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children reported that in 2018, one in every seven of the 23,500 runaways reported to their organization were likely victims of child sex trafficking. At the same time, the Global Report on Trafficking in Persons estimated that 27% of all detected human trafficking victims worldwide, of that cohort, one in three are boys. the percentage of boys being trafficked just skyrockets when it comes to trafficking children and teens. And boys being trafficked, there's some patterns. Boys are being used for blackmail.
It becomes the gay shame. Here's an example. Oh, he's a politician. We're going to this special party that we, you can do whatever you want. Just tell us what you want. Here's your menu.
That's been happening for 1,000 years.
It goes from blackmail to it being their normal Wednesday evening.
Where it's, that was pretty fun. I already did it. You want to bring those boys back?
Yeah, this was thrilling. This was exciting. A lot of it starts off as blackmail tools when there are just sickos out there. Mm-hmm. But for some of the trafficking, especially with boys, it's a blackmail tool to be, oh, you had sex with an underage girl. Yeah. Pay them off, whatever. Did you get her pregnant? We'll take care of that. Mm-hmm. But when it's a boy, it's, oh, but now you're gay.
Yeah, you're gay. And
a pedophile.
Which it is fucked up that those two things get linked in culture so much, because it's absolutely not true. With what is it? Pedophiles. What was the organization that was trying to? Oh, but we're LGBTQ. Yeah, fuck those guys. There was like,
Pi is in Europe. I forget what it is here in America. But yeah, they were like, here's our flag. Isn't it? It looks like the bisexual flag. It's like the similar colors, I think.
Yeah, and it's like, no, if someone can age out of your range of attraction, that's on you. You're not attracted to the person.
It's messed up that for females, though, we're supposed to look young. We're supposed to be hairless. We're supposed to, all of those things that they tell us is, oh, if an older man is attracted to that, they're attracted to young women.
Young women are, what are young women?
Fertile. Scientifically.
Attractive. When you look at anything anthropologically on a body, you look at it sexually. How can it sexually attract a mate? How is that adaptive to attract a mate? Everything.
When we're ovulating, they're more red and plump. Our waistlines are thinner as women when we're ovulating. And that is all to attract a mate to say, hey, you know what? I'm fertile. Let's do this.
And then as soon as your period hits, you're like, transforming back into my true form.
Witchery.
We're going to be focusing on three main incidents of child sex trafficking rings, focused primarily on the trafficking of boys and teens that have been discovered. This is specifically in the United States. It's such a broad topic. We're focusing on just the US this time. Next time, we'll get into some more fucked up shit from all around the world. But because these instances is where society really became privy to the fact that boys could be victims of sexual assault and human trafficking, that they were victims of sexual assault and human trafficking, and the depths to which they were being exploited, and the networks of exploitation, and how vast they were, and how these networks touched every trusted pillar of society, from business leaders to political leaders, the CIA, the school system, CPS, the motherfucking Boy Scouts, which it's gotten to the point where Boy Scouts getting molested is a punchline.
So do you remember the 50 Boy Scouts?
I do remember the 50
Boy Scouts. Did you hear any weird noises that night?
I didn't, but we had a dance-off.
Nice.
We did. I went out for my sister's birthday at this group campsite. Krista was there. And we were drinking some beers and getting ready to start our night. And then all of a sudden, 50 Boy Scouts show up at the group camping site next to us.
The campground people, they were walking around. And they're like, oh, hey, guys, just put your drinks in your cups. So, like, whatever. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's about to be Boy Scouts here. Now, mind you, this isn't, like, a small campground. And I guarantee you, there were other places. And they knew about your reservation for months, and definitely knew about these Boy Scouts reservations for probably a fucking year, or they probably have a standing reservation. They just know.
They chose
to put them right next to a group of adults that had booked it for, what, 3-4 days?
Yeah, two nights. But yeah, and we're like, oh God, are we going to get some bonus content? So the Boy Scouts show up. We're leaving their dinner for dinner. And then they started packing in camping gear.
And then their city went up. And just boom, 50 fucking million little people.
They played the bugle in the morning at like 7 a.m. It was so funny. Me and Katie and Yamo and Sean were up and they're going to play the song. They're going to play the bugle. And then they played the bugle and everyone else was asleep in the tent. We're like, ha ha. And then they started blasting electronic music to get them up and moving and doing exercises.
Hey, free rave.
Right?
Yes. I mean, okay, I am going to say this. The Boy Scouts are not bad. It is unfortunate that there were people that chose to take advantage of their power and their place. It sucks because the Boy Scouts is not a bad program. It is not bad to teach your children how to survive if something hits the fucking fan. Right. Not a bad thing. If one of my kids wanted to be in the Boy Scouts, I would. I'm not saying that I would investigate.
People that we're going to look into used, one of them was in the Big Brothers program. He exploited that position. There was a gym teacher. It's trusted people that use their position to groom boys into being trafficked. First, we're going to start with the Delta Project. This came out in the 1970s, and it was a nationwide sex trafficking ring operated by John David Norman with help from Phil Paskey in the 1970s. It was literally a newsletter. It was a newsletter that got mailed out from
a postcard. Not just like a newsletter, like a fucking postcard.
And it was based in Texas and in the Dallas area, and it was a newsletter from which pedophiles could literally order boys. John David Norman was arrested in 1973, and when he was arrested, 30,000 index cards with between 50,000 and 100,000 names of people across the country subscribed to this newsletter were found in his home. The police also seized booklets with pictures and names of teenage and young adult males that were available for rent. The way that he lured boys in was he put out ads for the Odyssey Foundation and targeted young runaways. Do y'all remember another South Park reference, the episode where they killed off Chef, where they were talking about the Super Adventure Club, where these men traveled to foreign places and fucked little boys.
Right. Okay. That's real.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was based on the Odyssey Foundation, where you get to have adventures with like mentor older men and travel.
No, that's still going on. It never stopped. And I think most people the people that were alive and adults when all this came to light remember this for sure. But I would say, what was it, just recently, is it on, I think, HBO Max or something right now? I think they called it Candyman or something like that. And it's the correlation of
later down in the notes, where was it, this has been tied to murderers, that one, the Candyman, was Dean Corll.
Yep. So where they tied Dean Corll, Patsky,
John Wayne Gacy, with Patsky, and Francis Sheldon of North Fox Island in Lake Michigan, which we'll get into, summer camp.
Yay.
So these boys that would, so Armin targeted young runaways, put up ads for the Odyssey Foundation. These boys would end up in the Delta Project. And when this came to light and Norman was arrested for the first time in 1973, it definitely broke people's brain pans because, you know, this whole, oh my God, there's so many people that are, you know, I think they honed in on the gay thing and they also honed in on like the pedophile thing. And I just,
but mostly the gay thing, honestly.
It sucks that like that is Phil Paskey helped Norman keep the Delta Project going while John David Norman was still in prison. He's in prison for all this shit and the newsletter is still going on.
And he's running it from prison, telling him like
he actually used the prison printer.
How did they like allow that to happen?
These predators.
Whose pockets was he in?
Very charming and very manipulative.
And they find each other and they help each other.
The network that really came to light in the 1970s, where it was like, okay, when you find one of these people, you find a whole ring of them.
Oh, yeah.
And the network of, you know, it wasn't just isolated incidents of like sexual abuse, it was trafficking.
Whole packs.
It's tied to Phil Paskey was close with John Wayne Gacy, everyone's favorite clown. Dean Candyman Corll sexually abused, tortured, and murdered 28 young men in Texas. He told one of the boys who, he actually groomed one of the boys to help him procure other boys.
Two.
And one of them ended up killing him, but he told one of them that he worked with a Dallas-based organization that bought and sold boys and murdered them if they got out of line. So if they ratted on him or fucked with him, like, they would not be safe because there was this network. And that was before everything about John David Norman running a fucking pedophile newsletter out of Dallas came to light.
Well, and then how did Patsky, who was in prison with Norman and continuing to run the ring once he was released before Norman, end up working for John Wayne Gacy?
I'm pretty sure it had to do with construction.
Huh? Construction.
Politics.
Well, we'll say construction.
I think it was politics, though, pretty sure.
And then North Fox Island in Lake Michigan was also tied to this network. And this is this was a multi-state child porn ring run by Francis Sheldon. He exploited his position of authority in the Brother Paul's children's mission as a big brother and with the Ann Arbor YMCA to fly boys on his private plane to his private island to produce child porn. There were school teachers and all kinds of shit involved where they would groom boys to help too. Parents would willingly send their kids to the summer camp on North Fox Island. So Pedophile Island, does that sound familiar, y'all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Epstein. It does.
Fuck you, Jeffrey. You're not original.
Nah. Hey, except for that weird temple. I mean,
Okay.
We'll give them the temple.
Even that was a copy of a copy of a copy.
Yeah. The only thing original about him was his egg-shaped penis.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that a condition?
We're going to be talking about that egg-shaped penis in hell, Epstein.
Why? So there has to be a photo. Why hasn't the photo been released?
Photo?
Is this a medical condition? Like micropenis?
This is the only dick pic I've ever wanted in my life. Is Jeffrey Epstein's egg dick.
We can't like get a dick pic from beyond the grave. And
how did it work?
They're going to get a dick pic from beyond the grave. It's going to end up slipped under your, like, door. And you're going to have, like, a wisp of air. And you're going to open the door and some leaves are going to blow away. And you'll be like, Jeffrey, is that you? And then you'll look at the picture and you'll vomit a little in your mouth. But you'll swallow it and you'll take it inside.
Okay, listen. Jeffrey Epstein used the vibrator a lot. They said, like, 80 to 90% of it was vibrator rape. So that's why a lot of people didn't really. He was using that as the unit. I don't think it worked very well, Krista.
Yeah, so the Delta Project, North Fox Island, I think a lot of the reasons that parents weren't realizing that they were sending kids to predatory situations were, oh, he's spending a lot of time with his teacher, he's mentoring him. Or, you know, he's spending a lot of time with the Candyman. I'm so glad he's got, like, a positive male role model.
Hey, do you cringe love dad jokes? Well, what about mom jokes? Then have I found the one mom band for you. Jessica Delfino is a critically acclaimed comedian, musician, and writer. She was once dubbed the Lower East Side's Queen of Obscene, but since becoming a mom, she performs more family-friendly musical comedy all over the world and all across the airwaves. She's been featured on Good Morning America, BBC Four, Scary Mommy, and even on the Playboy Channel. Check out her new book, Dumb Jokes for Smart Folks, on Amazon. A delightful read, chock full of witty wordplay, logical leaps, and of course, mom jokes. And check out her musical comedy on iTunes or at jessicadelfino.bandcamp.com. For Jessica's latest works, upcoming performances, and more, follow her on Instagram and Twitter at jessicadelfino and on TikTok at justsomemom. Because everyone needs a good laugh.
It just wasn't even in their consciousness that boys could be raped and abused and trafficked, because it just wasn't
men
not talked about.
Even just as much as women are sought after, the same thing happens to men. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about it because men are supposed to be the alphas. They're the ones that do that. It doesn't get done to them. So that's why these things happen. And that's why that was probably allowed to happen, especially back then in the 70s.
Well, and you don't bring it up because if you brought it up, people think you're gay.
Exactly. Only through the 80s.
I had a guy tell me that he was so horny from the age of 12. You know, you really do feel like fucking a goat. You're crazy. And so another guy, whenever you hear about another guy fucking anything, you know, you really have no empathy for them. At least you're fucking. They're terrible. Men are terrible, you guys.
So are girls.
In last season's human trafficking episode, we did baby trafficking, and we brought up how, like, baby trafficking was really a product of all of these conflicting societal pressures that just crush people into this fucked up situation. We see the exact same thing in the case of the Delta Project and in the 1970s. And in general, in the trafficking of boys, there's so much like, this doesn't happen. You're not allowed to talk about it. If you talk about it, like all the shame's going to be put on you and you're going to have to deal with all the stigma on top of the rape and trauma. Plus the grooming. The grooming's going to make you feel special, make you an accomplice. Also too, when the North Fox Island stuff came out, one of the men, he was a teenager and he was groomed to be a photographer. He was implicated and the police threatened him with charges and were, you did this, you're in trouble too. And it was fucked up because
I was forced to do this. You think I really wanted to do this? It's not okay.
A really fucked up power dynamic, and there's all of these consequences that suddenly you have to bear the brunt of. And it's these predators know what they're doing. They've got tactics, they've got ways of keeping you complicit and under their thumb.
Well, and in the same way that, you know, women are used to produce babies, there are men and boys in trafficking that are there to get the women pregnant. That's their purpose in that situation, to be raped constantly and then get the girls pregnant to produce more children.
Actually, the next situation may or may not be that. That's a good segue. The Finders, the FBI just in 2019, they declassified hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of evidence and reports and interviews. Of course, it's redacted, but it's actually pretty lightly redacted regarding this. A lot has been inconclusive about this investigation, but I thought it was interesting. The Finders are a Washington, D.C.-based commune. There was a federal investigation into allegations of Satan worship and child pornography. A lot of that was because of the Satanic Panic, but some of it was founded based on what was found there. In 1987, two well-dressed men, Douglas Ammerman and James Michael Howell, were arrested in Tallahassee, Florida. They'd been reported because they were like these two well-dressed men with these six kids that were aged 2 to 11, and they were feral, they were malnourished, they seemed like super neglected and covered in fleas. The mothers were located and came to retrieve their kids in Tallahassee. One opted to stay, but it turned out that they were from this commune called the Finders, which seemed innocent enough. It was people opting to live an alternative lifestyle together. But there was more of an investigation into it, but it was founded in the early 1970s by Marion Petty. It's loosely based on the writings of Lao Tzu and pacifism. When the Metro Police searched two properties that the Finders found or owned, the Finders, too, which it's, what are you finding? What the fuck? They found documents, photos, computer equipment, and instructions for obtaining children for unspecified purposes. This included information about impregnating female commune members. You were talking about specifically like procuring children by obtaining female commune, like impregnating female commune members and buying, trading, and kidnapping children. So they raided these two buildings and yeah, they found all this information on how to like get kids. And then a customs agent was asked to review the evidence in the case. And he was told that it was a CIA internal matter. The CIA denies involvement.
Of course they do.
Some of the DHS and CPS were also involved because some of these like instructions for obtaining children included going through these authorities.
Being foster parents.
Yeah, and adoption and that sort of thing. You've got this commune of people with instructions on like how to obtain kids for unspecified purposes. There were also, and this is an interesting thing, a lot of the photos of the kids were found and there were like naked pictures of kids. There was a picture of these kids slaughtering goats. They said it was a field trip. And the naked pictures of kids, like, don't you take pictures of your kids when they're running around?
Not naked.
At a certain age. The kid, there's just like a kid crying, having to kill this goat. And like,
it's fun.
Information on any estimates of how many kids are born off paper?
There is no numbers because
what I would like to know, what I would like to find out from the FBI, recovery numbers. Okay, how many kids did we recover that didn't have any fucking papers?
That because weren't.
We need to start publishing those numbers. I couldn't find them. I mean, I can't even get one number that said, oh, we found five kids that didn't have papers. Nothing documented.
Yeah, they're called the missing, and they're missing and also missing from documentation because they're born into high control situations or born homeless. Or we got into it a little bit when we were talking about the Kingstons because they didn't get birth records for their kids until like a year into it. And sometimes they never did.
Sometimes they never did.
And then the kids are undocumented. It's really tricky for them to access help because they technically don't exist. And yeah,
so they're your cousin.
You can't get help for them because they don't exist, people. If you called the law and you showed up with no paper, I mean, are they not going to, you know, say you got, you know, and it's not your fault that you didn't have papers if you show up at 15 at, you know, police station.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, control of papers, controlled. And with kids, it is much easier to do this aspect of control where you like control their travel documents, their documentation, especially if you birth them, if you make them, then you completely control their touch points with documented society.
Yep. And you also normalize everything fucked up that you want to do to them.
Yeah. From a very early age, it's much easier to groom them if they don't know anything else.
Well, and those kids don't go to school. Those kids don't go to the playground and play. They literally.
They did that one time, but those two guys got arrested for it.
Right. They don't. Yeah. It's not pleasant. Having to be documented for them to track you is also sickening as well, but in a different way.
It's so easy to control someone from such a young age. Look up the FBI vaults, the finders. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of evidence. We could do a whole fucking episode on them. I was looking like, oh, I'm going to look up these records. There's 900 of them. It's fucking crazy.
You can't. Yeah.
Luckily, there's not many words on each page and the print is pretty big. So it goes fast. But yeah,
that's crazy. Like, and I don't think anybody actually realizes how much the government, local authorities, CPS, doctors, foster homes, halfway houses, DHS, even doctors, because then the doctors talk to the CPS and get kids taken away.
Because parents think they're sending their kids to do good stuff, and then the parents are implicated, and then there's that whole, oh my God, I did this to my child. What does that mean? You know,
it'll be like you take your kid to the doctor for a simple cold or something, and then the doctor reports it to CPS, and then CPS comes into your house and takes your kid because you're neglecting them. And then that's legal kidnapping. That's legal kidnapping. And then sometimes your kid goes missing and you can't find them. And you do everything that they want you to do, but they won't give them back. That's always my theory of, oh, you smoke weed and you're going to get your child taken away and never see him again. But, oh, you do crack. They're going to do everything in their power to give you your child back, even though you were selling your child to people for fucking crack.
Which is actually a pretty bit, like, it's a significant percentage of specifically young boys that get trafficked as well, being sold by their families.
That too. Like, oh yeah. Oh, and don't forget, not only is, you know, possibly, you know, you're that DARE teacher, the one that grooms your child, and then somehow CPS gets involved and they get taken away and now they're just a lost boy.
Well, that brings us to the motherfucking Franklin cover-up. Some of the darkest shit I have ever heard.
And all of those were lost kids.
Absolutely.
They were foster kids. They were children that their parents didn't give two shits about.
What have I been reading this month? Sincedo Noir, an anthology collection curated by M. Dante. This isn't just your average bedtime story. Think drinking in an intimate conversation about sadomasochist love and global literature. Think alluring reflections on bondage and hot power play in cinema. Think of decadent discussions on the influence of politics and culture on sexuality within the framework of social control. Oh yeah. Sexual intellectuals rejoice and check out Mockingbird Publishing on Facebook and on Instagram at Mockingbird_pub. Sincedo Noir. Yes, ma'am.
Meanwhile, in Nebraska, so this came to light in 1990, Omaha's Lawrence E. King Jr., Franklin Community Credit Union manager, had way too much money for his meager $16,200 annual salary, like $70,000 Mercedes. He had a $10,000 a month limo habit. He owned a 4-story house on 26 acres on the Missouri River. I don't know if he did crack, but.
I think in one of the interviews, they talk about drug use and him being involved.
Yeah, he would throw these like extravagant parties for politicians, primarily GOP, but everyone, primarily GOP
but
in Nebraska.
You know what the party favors were, guys? You guys didn't know what the party favors were?
The after party favors.
It was probably during the goddamn party. Oh, hey, the room on the right is yours. Do you know what those party favors were? Little boys, children, teenagers.
Yeah.
Impressionable people that are now fucked up or dead now.
Besides, in 1998, he was charged with looting $38 million from the Franklin Community Credit Union that he ran. So they did an investigation into it. And what they found was blew the fucking lid off of all of Nebraska. And then some. They found he was making his money running a blackmail hustle where he was involved in child prostitution and exploitation ring that catered specifically to the rich and powerful, notably those in the GOP. But yeah, he'd throw these like lavish parties, and it was kind of a way of being like, all right, like you're in the club now. Like even if you didn't do the acts with the kids, you were like at the party where it happened. And that's like blackmail enough in and of itself, right? Yep. Like half a dozen survivors reported they were brought to these parties and auctioned off like sex slaves, flown around the country for wild parties and given drugs and alcohol. They were minors. These allegations go so far as to recounting watching the creation of and being forced to participate in snuff porn with other boys and teens. One girl reported that when she was a teen, she was forced to sit naked at parties and then could do whatever they wanted to her except for penetrate her. Another girl said she witnessed a murder. And on June 19th, 1988, a social worker at an Omaha mental hospital reported allegations of child abuse. Her patients started talking about their time with Mr. King, and the Omaha police and state attorney general began investigating this whole. So that the charges in 1990, like, you know, all around this kind of several year time thing, they're like, he's got a lot of money. I wonder why he's got a lot of money. It's embezzlement. Oh, my God. It got way worse. And the more you learn about the Franklin cover-up, the more it's like, and the worst was yet to come. And then
and it was in Nebraska.
They used the private airport to transport children across state lines for this.
Yes.
Not only were people coming in, they were also taking them out.
Yes.
And it was a private airport, a government private airport. Fucking airport.
You get, wow.
Your tax dollars paid for that gas, for that jet fuel.
For that snuff porn.
It becomes a normal Wednesday night because it's thrilling. It's so taboo for a reason. Not trying to justify any of it.
It's treated delicacy. It's terrible.
Yeah, like, it's like eating monkey brains. Or we tell our kids, instead of explaining or letting our kids see what it's like to be a like actual drug addict, we just tell them no. So then it becomes instead of explaining and showing why it's not, I mean, not that you should show why, you know, raping children is wrong. Don't show that. You should just know that that's not okay. If you don't give an explanation as to why it's wrong and then you do it, it becomes thrilling. It becomes exciting. They're addicted to it.
The hidden part of it is why it's exciting. That's the titillation.
Yeah.
That's part of the fantasy. It's part of the dissociation of it too. That's a different life.
No. And then, and you know what? A lot of these people have young children at home.
Oh yeah.
A significant other. They go home after they do those disgusting fucking things and go play catch with their kids. But, you know, have that barbecue. Go lay down next to their wife or their partner. Mm-hmm. Kiss them goodnight. Like, nothing fucking happened.
Yeah. So when this came out, a lot of famous names attached to it were like, oh, shit. That it was used, the kids were almost used as a hazing ritual. So, like, you're invited to the party, you're invited to the after party, now you're in the club. Even if you didn't participate, you were at the party. And if you're going to fuck with us, you're going down with us. And then, you're right, that escalates into Wednesday night. But also helped King keep up his charade with his credit union. 10 years before his charges, the National Credit Union Administration warned that the Franklin Credit Union was on shaky ground. His credit union was about to go under. And several members of Congress were, no, we got to save Larry. And They wrote in support, and this is both Republicans and Democrats, wrote in support of the credit union and in support of Lauren C. King's character. They pulled it together for him. We got to help Larry out, because or else the parties are going to stop.
Have Wednesday.
Yeah, what about Wednesday, y'all?
It's just not a Wednesday without Larry. And go well for the survivors of Lawrence E. King. One of them, who was one of King's favorites, he had given this young man, 20, I guess, teen at the time, a $2,800 deerskin coat and a 14-karat gold bracelet. This guy shot and killed himself. This is terrible. And survivors had to relive their experiences. Then their testimonies were discounted, even though they passed polygraph tests. And which were hot shit back in the day, you know, now it's like polygraph tests, but then it was a polygraph test. There were also technicalities. The 5-year statute of limitations for sexual assault had expired. A lot of these allegations couldn't be charged. And, you know, these guys were getting death threats. The survivors were scared for their lives for coming forward.
Seth gave their statements and then we're like, yeah, nope, never mind.
Because they were scared. These are powerful people that they'd seen do terrible things. And they were legitimately scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because they could be suicided. They could be, you know, disappear and nobody would ever know.
Yeah. And then there's powerful people with interests in covering up those investigations. And yeah, I mean, that's the scary part about these trafficking networks is the victims are so deeply trapped. In the case of the survivors of the Franklin cover-up, they did try to come forward and nothing happened on a good day. Like, if they were lucky, nothing happened. Just not good stuff happened for these victims.
They were the throwaway kids too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Yes.
There's just so much out there.
Yeah, there's a lot. And those were just, you know, and those aren't recent things. Those were, I think, kind of monumental incidents that were uncovered that kind of shed light on not just like the trafficking of children and teens in the U.S., but the trafficking of boys and like males in the U.S. and for use as blackmail and using these kids to leverage people in power.
I think it showed our culture the demand for it. I think mm-hmm. that shocked it. I think that shocked our culture, the demand for it.
50,000 to 100,000 fucking subscribers to the Delta Project newsletter. It was right out in the open. It was going through the U.S. Postal Service.
Yep. Their postman was just straight up putting this postcard in there. I mean, I know they're not supposed to look at the mail, but it was a postcard. It wasn't. And some of them weren't even in envelopes. It was like an auto-generated postcard.
It's in case a postman looked at it and wanted to join.
You know, this is going to sound really fucked up. And just, I always tell people, question everything. Just think, in your lifetime, you are probably at any given time within feet of somebody that has just raped a child or a little boy. Like, I'm going to fuck everybody's day up with this one. I work at a restaurant in my real life, and I can guarantee you I have probably served some fucked up people, because people are really really good at hiding things. I mean, the internet has made things made it easier to find what you need, and also has made it easier to get found. There's that double-edged sword. They do go underground again, but they're everywhere, and And it's not just one specific type of person either. It's that person that, you know, mows their lawn and has like the most beautiful lawn in the neighborhood and has
a true detective with lawn
has the
lawn.
Best candy on Halloween. And yeah, you know, awesome. Just like the person that everybody loves in the neighborhood. You go into their house and you find some weird ass shit.
Yeah, if you listen to the podcast, The Clown and the Candyman, it's really good. But there's an entire episode where they interview the cops that were tasked to trail John Wayne Gacy in the weeks leading up to his murder. Or not his murder, not John Wayne, his arrest. And mm-hmm. they said he was really freaking charming. And they were, if you had met John Wayne Gacy, you would have liked him. And like, They decided to just survey him in the open. They had no idea there were all these bodies right beneath their feet. But yeah, they went out to lunch with him. And like, you know, at one point they were, John, we're sick of eating all this like fast food bullshit. Take us somewhere good. And just, you know, hanging out with John Wayne Gacy until they could arrest him.
They say that our eyes are getting bigger. That in 10,000 years, they're going to be huge on our face, okay? And more childlike. Anytime you look at a baby animal, it's cute. It's fine. It's charming. Psychopaths like charming things. And the childlike thing that we're growing into is being done because of sexual adaptations, you guys. Researchers are talking about it. Yeah.
So we're going to be hunched back, weird goblin looking things with giant eyes. Everybody looks at their phones. I've seen the things where they're like, because everybody's slumped over or looking at a screen, our shoulders are going to shift. And so will the angle of our spinal cords. We're going to be weird hunchback goblin things with giant eyes.
Everyone's going to try to fuck us.
And I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. That's true. We could hunchback.
Like the scientific part about being attracted to young, fertile, that's, we are animals. Break it down to every, we are animals. And what do animals do? Fuck, eat, sleep.
And if it looks like it needs to be fertilized, what happens to it? It gets fucked.
Exactly. And what do trees do in the spring?
They fuck your face.
Well, there's that, but it's fertile time. And it's, they're young, sexy ass trees. They're out there just woo.
Let's talk about another reason why they're attracted to young boys. They're flat chested. Every other primate is flat chested when it is fertile.
Human women develop breasts at puberty so that people know not to rape us.
We're already pregnant. We look pregnant. We're the only pregnant female primate on the planet from puberty to death.
A boy with a flat chest looks like something that needs to be fertilized.
That's from bioanthropologist Jonathan Marks.
Brutal, brutal truth.
It is.
Like, my favorite looking boy from the catalog. If he tries to escape, I'll kill him. It's fine because we've got this network. Or, oh, I'm...
If you don't send him back, they know why.
Yeah, they're, oh, we lost Johnny. Cross him off the list. Find another. Find another Odyssey Foundation boy.
If you look and... There are those ones out there that don't care if it's a boy or girl, because if you look at a young child, anatomy-wise, besides genitalia, they look exactly the same. There's no difference. Really? And if their hair is cut short or kept long, then there's really, unless their clothes are out, you don't know the difference.
It really messes with me that so many of these perpetrators are parents.
Yeah, that fucks with my head all the time.
You guys, like, heard about that forum in Britain that was shut down, right?
No.
50,000 members of this forum, it flipped duck out in Britain. They had a thing where you would get married to have children so you can have sex with them or trade them to have sex. They shut it down in Britain. I think it was like early 2000s.
Oh, it's like a puppy sex mill. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. It's terrifying as well, too. Because there are the ones that do actually get to go to school and see what a normal life looks like for the most part. But at the same time, they also don't know that when everybody else goes home, they're not being brutally raped or sold to their neighbor or something like that.
Right. And they're getting groomed to, you know, say the right things to authority or, you know, to.
Exactly. Our world is. But. Throw in history, look at the Roman, look at the Greek. What does our government mimic? Their government. Like,
this was a Wednesday. This has been a Wednesday for thousands of years.
Theirs was a power symbol. They didn't hide it. It was, oh, I have X amount of boys to my, you know, to my disposal. That was, fucking look at Caligula, weirdo, but I understand why he turned into a weirdo. And his life was not pleasant.
Romans get Caligula and Cthulhu fucked up with the names. Not with, like, who they are, but...
But didn't Caligula have to fuck his uncle all the time?
Whoever was emperor at the time decided to bring him to this island that was pretty much Murder Island. Everybody knew it as the Murder Island. And then he was raped by him and groomed by him. They ended up raping people together and then all sorts of weird shit. And he killed him and then became emperor and just went on a raping spree with his lead...
Oh, no.
his severe mental illness traumas, and then all the lead wine.
Oh, God.
Psychopathy allowed for, they said, one of the beautifulest flotillas on a lake ever. It's just gorgeous, just beautiful.
Beautiful view. It's a beautiful view. Well, and that's, you know, pre-North Fox Island, pre-Jeff Epstein with his weird palace island. They've always been going to freaking islands.
Just like cults. You go to an island, no one's going to fuck with you.
No one's going to hear you scream on an island. No one's going to be able to come get you either, okay?
Especially if you own it.
That's when Cthulhu shows up or Nessie shows up. Hop on my back.
I bet those poor kids wish Cthulhu would show up and say, hop on their back. They would go, poor kids.
I'll take my chances with the sleeper in the deep. He woke up to save me. I hope he knows I can't breathe underwater.
That's so sad.
Y'all definitely check out our links in the show notes. And there's a lot of resources on how to support victims of human trafficking and how to support the people that support the victims of human trafficking and just to learn more about it. And, you know, just to keep
really passionate about getting rid of it. It's time to stop. We don't have to make everybody slaves anymore to anything. It's time to grow up.
Yep. And so, yeah, we'll be back next week with our second part where we travel the world in search of human trafficking, particularly of little boys. It gets really dark when little boys get involved because people do terrible things to little boys, like really, 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 really terrible things. And, you know, we got to talk about it because it's happening and it's something that doesn't get spoken about and we need to bring light to it.
Circling back to the Boy Scouts, Becca, what is your opinion about what they should do with the organization going forward? Do you think that they should continue or do you think that they should shut it down and reorganize and call it something completely else or whatever?
I don't know. I mean, if I were them, I'd probably want to rebrand because, like, man, those pedophiles really messed it up for the Boy Scouts. I swear. I mean, it's... but. You know, it was interesting. I've been hearing, you know, some stuff about how, like, you know, cultures really do need a coming of age ritual and, like, really do need, you know, ways of teaching leadership skills to children. Organizations like that, especially ones that have an initiation, are helpful because it shows kids when it's all right. Now you are welcomed into this society. Now you've got, like, independence. You've got, like, a say, you know, organizations that can be really helpful in, like, you know, teaching the tools that, like, prepare them for this, like, initiation into being an adult in the society that they're a part of. But that's what makes all the abuse so much worse, because it's disempowering when it's supposed to be empowering. Instead of initiating them into something that empowers them, it's initiating into, well, you can expect to be abused by people in power for your entire life. And that's awful. And that needs to change. So...
well, then how do you ever learn to say no to people that treat you like shit? Or how to accept people being nice to you? Because you always think that they're going to have an alternative motive behind them being nice to you. And then you end up in weird situations where it's all, oh, you did this for me. Here's my butthole. What are you doing? Yeah, I know that's not funny, but...
you bought me coffee.
You bought me coffee. Do you want a blowjob? No. Here's a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and a lot of the there was a article in Psychology Today about psychologists that were working with group therapy with homeless male populations and just how shocked they were by how many of them were living out trauma from being trafficked as young men and teens. How this manifests itself, all kinds of stuff associated with complex PTSD. Like, so it does follow you for your whole life, and they end up in these situations where they're, you know, have drug problems, alcohol problems, chronic homelessness, mental illness that's brought on by the trauma.
Yeah, it never goes away.
They don't learn that they don't have to accept abuse to survive. I think a big part of the retraining is a lot of these people don't ever learn how to live in non-chaotic circumstances. When they get into stability, they lose their shit because they're adapted to the chaos. They know how to survive in the chaos. Mm-hmm. They do need the extra support and counseling to learn how to cope with a stable life. And if they don't get, I think it's become more clear that people have to learn how to adapt to good situations if they're used to bad situations.
Yeah, because that's not their normal. Mm-hmm. Their body isn't always in a constant state of fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And And the other thing that's really hard is when sex sells everything. And if you were already viewed as a sexual object, that it's okay, well, I need X, Y, and Z. I'll just do this because it's easy. I don't care what they do to me because I've had worse done to me and I'll get my needs met.
You mentioned fight or flight. You and I had that discussion about freeze one time.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is fight or flight again?
Parasympathetic.
Freeze, flight.
What is freeze?
Freeze is dorsal vagal. That's play dead. Fight or flight is parasympathetic nervous system. Freeze is dorsal vagal. When you've been through a lot and you just can't fucking move.
You just can't process anything.
That's what a lot of people choose to do.
Then you end up with dissociative disorder because your brain has chose to fracture so many times.
Or just stop.
Or just stop at a certain age.
No, and it's weird because the complex PTSD shows up in weird ways. I was just having a conversation with my in-laws and my husband about this like construction project we're going to do. And I start just crying and I'm like, it's okay. I just cry a lot. My threshold. It's really weird. I think, you know, it is one of those weird trauma responses where if there's a sound, the heavy breathing sometimes puts me on edge and my fight or flight kicks in and I have to force myself to not run away from it.
I think a lot of people are scared of heavy breathing, you guys. I am too, a little bit.
God, someone's about to either kick my ass or it's so weird. Someone's upset close by. I must flee. But yeah, I don't have to say that. But those like weird subcortical responses where like you dissociate. Sometimes it feels like you're standing next to yourself and like kind of you're not watching yourself, but you feel like you're watching yourself. Something's like, I got this. I got I got this until
like,
you get
like, I'll handle the physical part of this. You don't have to feel this.
Yeah. And that, you know, again, that a lot of that makes it harder to get out of these situations or recognize when you're in these situations, if it's all that you know. Or there's just a lot of compounding factors. Like, you know, people are trapped by circumstance. They're trapped by their programming as a response to that circumstance. When you get out, there's a lot of different aspects that need to be addressed. And if you don't have access to those resources, it can be really hard to function.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of the elephant that's tied to the ground by a rope. He could get out of that rope easy, but we trained him on a chain. So he thinks he can't get free, but he can.
Well, you guys can get free. And
it can happen. It's a long road. But when you do get there and you feel well enough to speak about it, so more people
and
know.
Please, it's for your own health. It's for your own good. You can live a life. You can be healthy again. You can be happy. You can help others. Mm-hmm. We need people to help others that have been in this, so that people that know what's going on can talk about it. Because everybody else talking about it, we only get like a little touch. We need it. We need all of it.
Yeah.
Expose those people. Don't hide. Don't hide them.
Do not protect them. They do not deserve it.
No, I don't care how much money they have.
We don't care.
I know that it's scary when people do have a lot of money and they threaten you. I get it. If you have that opportunity, even if you have to do it anonymously, fucking let it out.
Yeah, no, you do not owe anything to them. You do not owe anything to them. One of the tactics is tricking you into thinking you owe debts to them, and you don't owe them shit.
They owe you. They owe you.
Crime GC said so.
You get out. If you need help, there's more of us than them, and we'll do a GoFundMe or something. We don't care. Okay?
Call up What Is It Bikers Against Child Abuse and get them to do a drive-by.
It'll happen.
Drive-by vroom.
Yeah, just it's awful out there, guys. And
it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah. No. Oh, the human trafficking episodes are always so hard.
Well, and you know, there's enough plastic surgery and all of that stuff for people to look younger. That's fine. Like if you're into people that look young, that's fine. But make sure that they're of age.
Back to some anime. Fuck.
I mean,
I have a problem with the anime.
The hentai and stuff like that.
Yeah, because it's telling you to go screw kids. I mean, and it's making it Wednesday night shit.
Yeah, there's all some sorts. Stuff
there. James, you are turning that off. I was here. No wonder my kid's so fucked up. I thought it was cartoons. It's not cartoons. You got to watch what your kids are watching on the anime.
Tentacle porn.
I was like, what is this shit? Oh, that's the whole plot line. How many episodes? 300? I don't know. He was so grounded. We're not telling me about it.
He watching.
You're so grounded. I grounded the shit out of him for that.
We're not telling me. Cowboy Bebop and Trigun and.
If you're an adult, that's fine. If you've already got your sexuality centered, you already know what you are. You know what I mean? That's okay. Watch whatever you want. But when you're a kid and you're telling them to have sex with brother and sisters, that's not what they need to. They just need to be kids. I just want kids to be kids.
Can we name this episode Human Trafficking Wednesday Night?
That's so bad. Yes. Just another Wednesday night.
Just because
it's a special.
It's a special.
It's a special. For boys.
We got to look out for our boys.
Yeah. How do you expect them to do better if we're not going to do better for them? Like.
Me and Krista have boys. Becca's got an adopted couple boys.
Just be aware of the things that are going on. Make sure you look at the signs, research the signs of trafficking and also signs of sexual abuse, because it comes out in so many different ways. It just doesn't come out in aggression. Sometimes it comes out with them completely shutting down.
And kids trust.
Yeah, and kids speak to you without speaking to you. Just watch. Pay attention.
Yep. We'll see you next week for more terrible.
We're going to go nationally.
We're going across the ocean. We're about to check out this one guy that the Philippines almost brought the death penalty back for, just to kill him for the shit that he's done. But they didn't.
They should do to him what he did in just that one video. Oh, he made multiple.
It was terrible. Hold your boys close. Look out for signs of human trafficking. Believe boys when they tell you that they're being abused.
Don't shame them. Don't tell them that, oh no, now you're gay. Because that happens, unfortunately. You were a victim of sexual assault. Oh, now you're...
How does that even work? If you have a bad feeling, there's private investigators that can run background checks.
And you'd be surprised how much of a trail the internet leaves.